Ray's chin dropped to his hand. His brown eyes were bloodshot from 3 weeks of sleepless nights, and his cheeks hollow from the 10 pounds he'd shed during the trial, even though he was completely innocent. Being a defendant was no win. If you lost, you paid the plaintiff, and if you won, you paid your lawyer. This was known as the American rule. Only Americans tolerate law without justice. "Look, Ray, we don't have to stay here. I have my cell phone, and the deputy clerk has my number. How about we take a field trip? We can go see the Liberty Bell. It's only a block away." "No. This land is your land, Ray. This land is my land." "No." "Come on, it'll do you good to go out and walk around." Benny Rose stretched and took a personal inventory. She thought she was good-looking for a lawyer, even though she stood 6 feet tall and her proportions were positively Amazonian. Her khaki suit was still pressed and her white Gap shirt fairly clean. Her long, disobedient blonde hair had been piled into a twist with a tortoiseshell barrette. But no makeup maximized the blue of her eyes or minimized the crow's feet at their corners. An old boyfriend had told her that her mouth was generous, but she suspected it was a sneaky way of saying she had a big mouth. At the moment, it was shaped into a sympathetic frown. "You don't want to take a walk?" "When do you think they'll come back?" Ray didn't have to explain who they were. "End of today." Benny sat back down. At least the stretch had shaken off some of her stress. She couldn't remember the last time she'd exercised. This trial had consumed every available minute for the past 2 months, but her law firm needed the dough. The slump in the economy had hit lawyers, too, and people had stopped suing each other. Could world peace be far behind? "I can't take another day of this. You're sure they'll come back today?" "Positive. This is a simple fraud case, in federal court only through the miracle of diversity jurisdiction. And Thursday is a good day for juries to go out. They get it over with if they come back today. Then they go home and make it a 3-day weekend. They won't go to work on a Friday after jury duty." "How do you know?" "Trial wisdom. The elders pass it down in a secret ceremony. We call it the bar exam to fool gringos like you."
"But what are they doing in there for so long?"
Ray rubbed his forehead with leftover fingernails. He looked older than his 51 years, and oddly, he'd become more nervous as the trial wore on, not less. Ray wasn't a lover or a fighter. He was an accountant. "A day is nothing. We just had a 15-day trial with 126 exhibits and 28 witnesses. You want them back sooner?" Benny pointed to the empty jury box. "Keep watching those chairs. It works every time." Suddenly, the paneled door next to the dais opened, and the deputy clerk entered. He was tall and fit, and his polyester blazer made an officially swishy sound when he walked. When Benny realized he was heading for her, she rose. "They back?" she asked, her heart beginning to thump. But the deputy clerk shook his head. "They got a question. They sent a note. Court's in session in 5 minutes. Plaintiff still in the attorney's conference room?" "Yes," Benny answered. And as soon as the deputy clerk took off down the aisle, Ray jumped up and clutched her sleeve. "What does he mean, a question? The jury has a question? What question?" "Relax, sit down." Benny unpeeled Ray's fingers and eased him down into his chair. "The judge is coming out to read us the question. Then we..."
"A question? How typical is that? I don't understand. What does he mean, a question?"
"It happens from time to time. The jury sends the judge a question about the evidence or the law. It's nothing to be...
I mean, what do they have to know?"
Ray raked his free hand through his thinning hair. At the beginning of this trial, he'd looked like a chia pet. Okay, maybe that was an exaggeration.
"Who said they could ask questions? Why do they get to ask questions?"
"Because this is America. Now stay cool. Curtains up." Benny gestured behind him, where the courtroom had come abruptly to life. The court reporter returned, cracking his knuckles before he took his seat, straddling the stenography machine. The deputy clerk and a young female law clerk entered through the paneled door and bustled to their posts at the side and the front of the courtroom. The plaintiff and his lawyer hustled up the aisle and sat down at their counsel table, and the lawyer nodded, acknowledging Benny. Benny nodded back. But that was as friendly as she ever got with opposing counsel, if you didn't count giving them the finger behind her